Pastor Marichelle is going to come and share the word of God today. Let me tell you, every time Pastor Marichelle, before you welcome her, every time she preaches, I know she really seeks God and carries the burden of what it is to come to stage and speak to our church as a whole. And it's not something that she takes lightly and really believes God to do something significant on the day. So why don't you lean in and cheer and give her all the support that you possibly can while she preaches today. Give her a big hand as she comes to stage. Thank you, Pastor Marichelle.
Good morning. Good morning. You're looking so beautiful today. So glad that we can be in church. You know, like last year, this time last year, where were we? We were at home. But this year, we're gathering. And how good is it to gather? How good is it to gather in the house of God? Because when you gather in the house of God, great things happen. And I just want to welcome you. I want to welcome our online family this morning. I want to welcome, if you're a new person here this morning, I'm just so glad that you can be here with us today. And it's such a privilege and honor that I get to share the word of God with you this morning. Yeah. And, you know, welcome to our online family. And can I just say to our online, even if you're here, that you are just not a clicker. You are just not a commenter. You are not just a subscriber, but you are a family. And what do family do? They cheer each other on. They help each other. They support one another. And so this morning, I want to be hearing some cheering of the Word of God, not particularly me, but I want you to cheer the Word of God because it deserves all the cheering that you can have. So that is great. So, Moving Life Forward. Moving Life Forward is a series and theme that we've been going through and marinating ourselves since last year and even this year. But we will continue on for the rest of our life because you know what? Moving Life Forward. Moving Life Forward. If you stop moving, then you die. That's when you stop. When your life is not moving, then you die. And so for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. We will continue to give. We will continue to serve. And we will continue to keep moving life forward. Now, last week, Pastor Tony spoke on retagged his sermon, really, of moving life forward. And he spoke about the name, but he also spoke about the fear without really talking about fear. And because he addressed that because we have the name of Jesus to hold on to. Yes. So we need not fear because we have the name. And you know, the name of Jesus is above every other name. The name of Jesus is above that every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess. And if you don't confess him now, you will confess his name one day. So Jesus is a name above every other name. And so, you know, I want to follow that pattern that Pastor Tony preached on. And a couple of months ago, I was asking God and praying. I said, God, what would you want me to share to your people this time? Because, you know, we get to find out when we get to preach. And I felt the word healing and wholeness dropped into my spirit. Now, not particularly want to preach about that, but it's a pathway to healing and wholeness. So today, I want to share about that, but it's more about the pathway. I believe God wants to talk to us today about that because sometimes we confuse healing and wholeness when it is not. They're two different things. Healing will heal you of your surface diseases. Healing will heal you of your ailments and the problem areas. Whereas, in fact, Psalm 103 says, it's not on the screen there, but he says that he heals our wounds. Yes. Whereas I don't believe God has just come and died just to heal us, but he came and died so that we are made whole. Yes. You know, wholeness in mind and body and soul. In fact, he said in John 10:10, it says, the thief has come to kill, steal, and destroy, but I have come that you might have life and have it to the full, abundant life. Now, you can translate that as to being whole, and wholeness is translated to having salvation and eternal life in Jesus Christ. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Amen. So God has come to do that, and the wholeness, and wholeness will allow you to move forward in life. You know, there are people here today and our people are watching online, and there are those that are healed but not yet whole.
Yeah.
And there are those that are healed and not whole, but there are also people here today that need physical healing. That need physical healing, but you need wholeness.
Yes.
You know, I really wrestled with this message, not because I can't preach it, but because there were so many things that I could preach about and talk about the miracles and the healing and Jesus performed all those miracles, but I couldn't find one passage of scripture that will encapsulate everything that I wanted to say, but God's grace.
Yeah.
Everybody say God's grace. God's grace. As I reread and reflected and recorded and read about all the healings that Jesus performed in the New Testament, and I believe in the New Testament, I think there's about 37 recorded healings. But then John also said that if we were to record every bit of miracle and everything that Jesus performed that day, we won't have any pages in the book of the Bible to record those things. He recorded more than that. You know, Jesus performed more than that. So, you know, I couldn't help when I reread all the passages in scripture, I couldn't help but think, notice a word that stood out for me. That stood out for me when I was wanting to preach about healing and wholeness. You know, is when you read your Bible, is there anything that stood out for you? Like it says, bang, like God wants to speak to you. Like a word, a rhema word of God.
Yeah.
And he just wants to like speak that over you. And for me, that's what happened. That's what happened. Whenever Jesus wanted to heal, there was a catalyst that moved God to heal. And that word for me was faith. Faith. What is faith? Now, Hebrews tells us that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not yet seen. Not just faith, but bold faith.
Yeah.
Bold faith to ask, bold faith to believe, and bold faith to act. So if you want a title for my message this morning, under Moving Life Forward, it is bold faith. Bold faith, and that is one of the pathways to healing and wholeness. By the end of my message this morning, my prayer to you is that if you're a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ, that you will become aware, more aware of His presence this morning.
Right.
That you will know that God is with you,
yeah.
That you are made whole, and that you are healed. And you know and that is something that I want each and every one of you to realize this morning. And if you are not in that space yet, where you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, my prayer this morning is you will be able to capture that this morning and experience the goodness and the glory of Jesus in your life. For those of you this morning who feel like, well, you talk about boldness, you know, you talk about boldness, and I'm not bold. I'm not bold. You know, boldness is not reserved for a personality type.
That's right.
Yes. It's not a category.
Yeah.
It's not a category. I'm not bold. It's a learnt behavior for me because there's fears in my areas of life where I need to be bold. Like, I'm not bold when a flying cockroach just comes into the room and actually start to attack me. I'm not bold then. I'm not bold when I have to confront conflicting conversations and courageous conversations. I'm not bold then. I shudder. I don't like conflict. I like peace. I like peace. I'm not bold. But it's not a personality type. Boldness is in our DNA and it's the way we are wired by God. I'm just going to pray this morning. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that every heart, that you will touch every heart this morning. That, Lord God, that your word will be sent forth. And help me preach this word with clarity and with conviction, Lord God. That even as under the sound of my voice, Lord God, that as I'm speaking, that you are dropping pearls of wisdom. Things, that, Lord God, that you want to speak to each and every heart this morning. So I pray that for your Holy Spirit to invade this space in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As I said, boldness is not a personality type. And I soon learned that that you cannot move life forward without being bold. You cannot move life forward without bold faith, We are living in such a time as this, church, where life will demand us to be courageous, where life will demand us to be bold. We are not called to be saved, mediocre Christians or followers of Jesus Christ. We are called to be bold disciples. We are not called to be limited by our circumstances or situations or be bound by the fear of man. But we serve, and you and I serve, an unlimited God, a limitless God. This is a time to be bold. This is a time not to be intimidated. This is a time not to be silenced or be bullied by, to be silenced by your words. We are living in a time where we need to speak out.
Yeah.
Speak out. Be bold with our voice. Be bold with our testimony. Be bold with our faith. Be bold with the way we carry Jesus in our hearts. Be bold in sharing Jesus with others, as you may be the only one who will share with them. Be bold with calling things out. Do you hear me, church? Be bold. Because sometimes you need to call something out, but you're just silent because you are so scared of what the other person will say. Be bold in speaking the truth in love. People just speak the truth, but not in love. But Jesus say, speak the truth in love. Be bold with our shout. Be bold with our voice. The enemy wants to steal your voice. The enemy wants to steal your shout. And if he can steal your shout, then he can steal a generation that won't speak out. Church, we need to understand in this moment of time that we are in a fight.
Yeah.
It's no time to flight. We're in a season where moving life forward requires boldness, and with moving life forward comes with a shift. And some of you are praying to move life forward, but you're standing still. You're not doing anything. You're stuck in the same situation over and over again. You know, when I was praying about this, God showed me a picture where you were just driving along, and suddenly you come to a standpoint and stand still, and your vehicle is bogged down in the muddy waters, and you keep accelerating, pushing, accelerating. Nothing happens. Nothing happens. Nothing happens. Because you are not doing anything to change it.
Right.
You cannot complain on something you have the ability to change.
Yeah. Yeah.
God showed me that you are stuck and you're getting frustrated. But what you needed to do is get out of your vehicle and look at it and do something different that will give you traction. If you want a different result, then you need to do something different. You can either shift with the season or let the season shift you. Now, for today's message, I want to use two passages of Scripture, and I want to weave them into my message. I want to give you an overview of this because, like I said, it was hard for me to encapsulate just one Scripture. And I want to highlight the boldness of these two characters, their bold faith. So I want to read, if you have your Bibles with you, if you have your iPad or whatever you have, you know, we were going to go to Mark 10, and I'm going to read it quickly, but I want to then highlight something. So this is where it says, Mark 10, verse 46 to 52. Then they reached Jericho, and as Jesus and his disciples left town, a large crowd followed him. A blind beggar, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, was sitting beside the road. When Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was nearby, he began to shout, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Verse 48, it says, "Be quiet." Many of the people yelled at him, but he only shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." When Jesus heard him, he stopped and said, "Tell him to come. Tell him to come here." So they called the blind man. "Cheer up," they said. "Come on, he's calling you." Bartimaeus threw off his coat, jumped up and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked. "My rabbi," the blind man said, "I want to see." And Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has healed you." and instantly the man could see, and he followed Jesus down the road. His disciple. So when I was reading that, there's another scripture that I want to go back, and I'm going to do this one. It's in Mark 5. We look at Mark 5, verse 25, 34. And this is the woman with the issue of blood. A woman in the crowd had been suffering for 12 years with constant bleeding. She had suffered a great deal from many doctors. And over the years, she had spent everything she had to pay them. But she had gotten no better. In fact, she has gotten worse. Next verse. She had heard about Jesus. So she came up behind him through the crowd and touched his robe. For she thought to herself, if I can just touch his robe, I will be healed. Immediately the bleeding stopped, and she could feel in her body that she had been healed of a terrible condition. Jesus realized once that healing power had gone out from him, so he turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my robe? His disciples said to him, look at this crowd pressing around you, Jesus. How could you ask who touched me? But he kept on looking around to see who had done it. Then the frightened woman, trembling at the realization of what had happened to her, came and fell to her knees in front of him and told him what she had done. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Your suffering is over. I know that's a lot of scriptures and it's a lot to digest, but when you go home, I want you to reread that and meditate on that, because I'm going to highlight a couple of things for you that after reading these two passages, I want you to capture them. Now, both had a condition. Different gender, male, female, but both had a condition. One was blind and one was bleeding. Both was labeled blind beggar. I don't know what's in your Bible. It says blind beggar, blind Bartimaeus. And then the other one is the woman with the issue of blood. Yes. Now, how would you like to be labeled by your condition? Yes. How would you like to be labeled by your issues? Think of a condition right now. And what would it be? And tag that after your name. Mine would have to be, and I know I have plenty of issues, but I can't pick one, but a woman with who's scared of the dark. A woman who has condition in her heart. Think of it right now and tag it in. Both were cast out. They didn't belong. Both were not accepted. Both were publicly rejected. Both were bullied into silence. Both were desperate but wanted to change their dysfunction. But both heard Jesus. Yeah. The woman thought, the man shouted. Right. But both have bold faith. Yeah. Both were healed and both were made whole. Yeah. 3 points that we can apply this to our own lives. Number one, if we're going to move life forward, we need a bold ask.
Yeah. Come on.
We need bold ask. You know, God is ready to act if we are bold enough to ask.
Yeah.
Verse 51, it says, what do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked. My rabbi, the blind man said, I want to see. I want to see. I'm thinking, this is a funny interaction here, if you get this, right? Doesn't Jesus know that blind Bartimaeus cannot see? Hello, Jesus. Why would you ask that obvious question when you know that blind Bartimaeus cannot see?
Yeah.
Have you ever thought about that? Why would Jesus ask an obvious question? Psalm 139, it says, you know my thoughts even when I'm far away. And then it says, Psalm 139 says, even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. I believe God is asking the obvious of us and of Bartimaeus, not because he didn't know, because God is God. God is omniscient, which means God is all-knowing, right? So, but more importantly, he wants to hear the motives of your heart. What a moment of such intimacy in close proximity. What a personal moment to be face to face with the one who heals, which is Jesus. When I read this passage, and I read it so many times, I used to think that, you know, when Jesus asked this question of blind Bartimaeus, that he had an angry tone, that he had an agitated stance because by the sound of this shout. Now, a bit of history for you. Jesus was on his way to Jericho. Yes. And that time, Jesus was on his way to be crucified. So Jesus was on a mission.
Yeah.
Was on a mission. And I thought, but Bartimaeus' shout stopped Jesus. His mission was interrupted by the shout of Bartimaeus. And ask. I imagine the scene of exchange of asking, you know, what do you want me to do for you? Or what do you want? What do you want me to do for you? Like, I have children, right? Sometimes I get really agitated and I go, what do you want? What do you want now? I'm just like, can't you see I'm doing something? Can't you see I'm going somewhere? But I just like, yeah. What do you want? But Jesus, in his gentle, and you know what? You can read this and you go, depends on your lens.
That's right.
Depends on your lens. Yeah. Depends if you feel that God is a harsh God and his judgment is God 4B2 ready to pounce on you whenever you make a mistake, then that's kind of an angry tone, right? But when you know that Jesus is an awesome God, who is a forgiving God, whose love for you is no bounds, then you would read this. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked. My rabbi, he said, the blind man, I want to see. Sorry, I'm just really. He said, my rabbi, which begs to tell me that blind Bartimaeus knew Jesus, not just an acquaintance, but knew Jesus in a deep and personal way. Verse 47, when Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was nearby, he began to shout, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Bartimaeus not only called him my rabbi, but he addressed and used his messianic title, which is son of David. It is interesting to note that when Jesus asked Bartimaeus, what did you want me to do for you? He didn't use him to be the messianic title just so that he could be impressive and ask Jesus to heal of his blindness. Because that is certainly what I would do. If Jesus was coming nearby and said, what do you want me to do for you? Well, can you heal me of my blindness? It's interesting to note that Bartimaeus didn't shout, Jesus, son of David, heal me of my blindness, because that is very obvious. You know, church, sometimes we pray and ask Jesus to do something for us that will relieve us. That will relieve us of our condition. That will relieve us of our pain. Remember, he was on the side of the road, begging day in and day out. Doesn't tell us how long he's been there, but I figured that it's been quite a while. This is not a one-time shout. He's probably had a sore throat by now. But when he heard that Jesus is passing by this day, can I suggest to you that this shout is a particularly different shout?
Yeah.
It's a different shout. It was a shout of desperation. It was a shout of cry. It was a shout for mercy. You know, there was a commentary that I read that says that this shout was like a sound of a shrieking sound, like that of a raven. It was funny because I was trying to practice this. What could it sound like in the bathroom? And all it comes out was a seagull. Seagull. By the way, I can tell you, I make a really good seagull noise, but I won't do it right here. That's only for private consumption, not for public. But, stop it right there. I don't. And I was like, you know, I was practicing the sound, and the girl's going, Mom, what are you doing? It's the bathroom. It's rushed through and says, oh, I'm just, you know, practicing. I said, okay then. Like, all right, you're so weird, Mum. Like, you know, leave that to your imagination. But Bartimaeus' shout, stop, Jesus. Yeah. Now, I wonder, what is your shout today?
Yeah.
What is your shout today? Is your shout, stop, Jesus? And more importantly, what did Bartimaeus shout for? Bartimaeus might not have eyesight. Listen to this. He might not have eyesight, but what he had was insight. He recognized and had an insight that is in need of mercy, a spiritual condition of his prior to asking Jesus to heal his blindness. Bartimaeus didn't allow the crowd to bully him into silence. The Bible says in verse 48, he only shouted louder. He only shouted louder. What boldness! What ask!
Come on.
Bartimaeus was bold enough to ask Jesus regardless of people's judgments, people's opinions, and people's perceptions of him. And you know, church, we are all in need of mercy because we are all in need of forgiveness. I was really challenged by this because how many times do I pray to God to relieve me, to change of my situation and ask him to do something, but seldom do I ask God to have a look at the motives of my heart. You know, God will not be manipulated or be moved just because we get uncomfortable by a situation. More often than not, we pray, God, take the situation from me. I'm sick to death of dealing with the same situation over and over again. I'm like in a merry-go-round. God, deal with my situation, my circumstance, my condition. Deal with my husband, Lord God. Deal with my kids. Deal with my wife. I'm in that situation too. But all the while, did you pray that? Have you prayed that? Yeah, don't lie. That's my husband, it's all right. For you online, he's sitting at the front row. But all the while, our prayers are selfish, are self-centered, because our prayers is all about relieving us. Maybe God doesn't want to change your circumstance because he wants to give those hard circumstances time to change you or us. God is always in the process of finishing what he started in us. In fact, he says in Philippians 1-6, being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. You know, the older I get, the more convinced that God isn't done until I'm redone. That God is not done and changed me from the inside out for the better. The process isn't always pleasant. It's not fun to be pruned and cut. But it needs to be done so that we can grow mature in Christ. Bartimaeus, being blind, called out and shouted, Jesus, have mercy on me. God's heart is a fountain of mercy. God's love for us is expressed in mercy, an extension of kindness and forgiveness to the one who deserves the opposite. We do not deserve God's love. We cannot earn it or buy it. We cannot win it. He loves us completely because we are, first of all, sons and daughters of God. Sons and daughters of the Most High God. We belong to him. So deep is this relationship that even though we go astray and we sin and we fail to live like children of God, he still loves us. He's always willing to receive us back and to forgive us of all our sins and restore the relationship. He has mercy on us. And church, I wonder today whether there is something you have stopped being bold in asking God for because you thought, why bother? Nothing's changing anyway. Can I suggest to you that maybe, just maybe, God is wanting you to address your spiritual condition first rather than addressing your physical condition or situation? Today, what is your shout? What is your ask? God's job is outcome. Our job is to ask. It is a shout or ask that will command Jesus to stop. What is it that you want Jesus to do for you today? And are you bold enough to ask it? For us to move life forward and have bold faith, we must have a bold ask. James 4:2, verse 3, yet it says, yet you do not have what you want because you don't ask God for it. And even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives, see that word, motives, are all wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure. For us to move life forward, church, and the pathway to healing and wholeness is that we need to have number two, bold believing. Right. I want now to draw from the story of the woman with the issue of blood. We are told in Mark 5, verse 25, that she suffered for 12 years. For 12 years with constant bleeding. Can you imagine that? She had suffered a great deal from many doctors, and over the years she had spent everything she had to pay them, but she's gotten worse. She had gotten no better. In fact, she had gotten worse. For this woman to keep going back to the hands of doctors to cure of her diseases, it would mean that she was bold to believe that she could be healed. But verse 27, she had heard about Jesus. So she came up behind him through the crowd and touched his robe. For she thought to herself, if I can just touch his robe, I will be healed.
Yes.
But this day, verse 27, have I got that? Verse 27, she had heard about Jesus and a boldness inside of her rose up and believed again.
Yeah.
This woman was bold in her faith. She was unnamed. She was labeled by people as the woman with the issue of blood. She was labeled by her condition. She was termed as the woman who was unclean. It was against the law for her to be going out and associating with others at that time. She didn't belong in that scene. If you read that, she didn't belong. She was unclean. She wasn't accepted. She experienced personal rejection, but today she risked public rejection. Think of this. We get so hung up by personal rejection, but this woman had public rejection and yet pushed through the crowd to touch the hem of Jesus' garment. I want to highlight the pattern to which her bold believing applied. She thought, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, the bleeding stopped because she thought. You know, we can get trouble with our thoughts. You know, I thought that in this passage that the bleeding stopped because when she touched. But read it again. The bleeding stopped because she thought. She thought. You know, you can stop things with a thought.
Yeah.
I wonder what thought she had prior to this thought. The thought that, what if I get caught? Because remember, she was bleeding and she was labeled unclean. I am my issue. This woman who is unnamed started to believe the lies of the enemy, the lies of the people that are surrounding her. Remember, 12 years of labels, 12 years of judgment, 12 years of being cast out, 12 years of being diminished, and 12 years of being ignored. What if I get rejected again, humiliated again? Proverbs 23 verse 7 says, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. What are you believing today? What are you believing today about yourself? Right now, some of you are going through some things and some situation, whether it's 12 days, 12 months, or 12 years, or more, and you've stopped believing. This thing paralyzed you, and I'm here to encourage you today that you can stop that with a thought. You can stop that with a thought. Turn to your neighbor and say, stop it.
Stop it.
Bit more gusto than that. Stop it.
Stop it.
Stop it. 2 Timothy, verse 1 to 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, but of power and of love and of sound mind. Today, each and every one of you has a sound mind. You have a sound mind because if you belong to Jesus, he has not given you a spirit of fear. He has given you a sound mind. So when a sound mind has, that means you have thoughts that are in line and in alignment with the word of God. Church, our healing is activated by the thoughts we believe about our circumstances, our thoughts and about ourselves. The limitation, the expectations that we have put on ourselves. The narrative, the story we tell ourselves. Can I say that no one is responsible for your thoughts? No one is responsible for your thoughts. So stop blaming people about the thoughts that you kind of have and play over your head. Our believing starts with a thought.
Yeah.
Then your believing ends up in action.
Yeah.
Try that. Next time you have a thought, go back, rewind, and what did you do after that thought? The passage started out with a title in my Bible. It says, "The Woman with the Issue of Blood." It started out with a label of a gender, woman. And by the end, she is not just labeled by her gender, but she is labeled by her position. Daughter. Daughter. Mark 5, verse 34. Am I doing all right? Is anyone all right here? Daughter. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well." People has labeled her by her issues and conditions, but Jesus identified her by inheritance. So people identified her and called her labels, but Jesus identified her by inheritance. You know what our inheritance is? It's healing. It's wholeness.
Yeah,
yeah. You are a son.
Yeah.
You are a daughter.
Yeah.
That's your inheritance. Yeah. Whether you believe it or not, that is the truth. And whoever you are today, whatever you have done, whatever people have done to you, whatever labels have people put on you or even put on yourself, I can say this, that you are a daughter and a son of the Most High God. Can we give Jesus a clap today? This passage is so rich, and there were so many lead-ins that I could go into, but I really believe that God wanted me to tell you that you are not your issue. You are not your condition. You are not your anxiety. You are not your depression. You are whole. You are made well. You are healed. The enemy wants nothing more than for you to believe the lie that he has put on your head. But this woman was bleeding on the inside, right? That's her physical condition. But Jesus didn't want to just heal her physical condition. Jesus wants to heal her mental condition. Jesus wants to do the same thing for you today. Jesus wants to change your believing about yourself. It's not about what others have labeled you. It's about what God says about you. You are seen. You are heard. You are valued. You are worthy. You are accepted and you belong. You belong here. You belong in the family of God. Don't let anybody or any circumstance tell you otherwise. Romans 8:1, it says, "So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus." So today, if you belong to Christ Jesus, there's no condemnation. There's no condemnation. Bold believing. You will need to start being bold about your believing. Which means you need to be bold in taking captive every thought that and make them obedient to Christ. You need to be bold in smashing those mental idols that has resided in your mind for far too long. It's time. Be bold.
Yes.
The woman heard about Jesus and was freed from her suffering. But when this woman heard from Jesus, she freed her from her shame.
Yeah.
Did you capture that? Because that's pretty intense.
Yeah.
I'll read it again. This woman heard about Jesus and was freed from her suffering. But when this woman heard from Jesus, she freed her from her shame. And right now, if you're online this morning, I am declaring to you that Jesus has freed you from your shame.
Yeah.
Last point. Are we okay? Is this helping anyone? For us to move life forward and the pathway to healing, the wholeness, is that we need to have number 3, bold actions. bold actions. You know, both people in this passage of scripture was bold in their actions. Blind Bartimaeus shouted. The woman with the issue of blood came up behind him. Both didn't allow the limitations, the restrictions, the judgment of people. Both heard and both acted on what they heard about Jesus, who Jesus is. You know, church, sometimes we need to start acting on what we've heard. Yeah. What have you heard about Jesus? These two characters in the Bible, their bold actions access the power of healing and wholeness in their life. Their bold actions speak of their belief. Sometimes I find that we get so comfortable in our dysfunction that we don't act what we have already heard. You know, as a counselor, more often than not, I will recommend to people or ask people to consider their next steps. But sometimes they just don't listen. They just don't listen. Because people can be too proud, can be too prideful. And you know what? When your heart is full of pride, you start to write your own prescription. But I'm sorry, darling. No amount of Panadol or Panamax will heal you of your condition. Whatever medication you try to drink or take, when your heart is full of pride, you start to write your own prescription. Pride is the sin beneath the sin. Pride is a silent killer. Pride will block the access of the presence of God in your life. No amount of medication will heal you until you get and kneel down to the presence of Jesus. What area in your life right now that you have stopped asking God for? What areas in your life right now that you have stopped boldly believing God for? What areas in your life that you need to boldly act on? I'm going to pray for boldness this morning. And if you are online this morning, I want you to participate with us this morning. I hope this message has blessed you, but not only it blessed you, but reignite and assured you of your position in Christ. I want you all to stand to your feet. It says here in Hebrews 4:16, "So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There you will receive His mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it the most." You know, you belong and you are part of the family of God. And I want you to encounter Jesus in a fresh way this morning. So if you are here today in person, have a bold faith. Have a bold faith. I wonder this morning if there's anyone that needs to address not just their physical condition, but their spiritual condition. Why don't you right now, we want to minister with you today with a song, and I'm going to declare this over your life about the name of Jesus. But what if each of you, each and every one of you who needs a touch from God, why don't you, as a symbol of you taking a bold step of faith, that you just step like that. If you want Jesus' healing, step out. The altar is open, but COVID, you know, people are not going to pray for you, but I just want you, if you want to come up the front, step out at the front and let Jesus minister to you. Let the presence of Jesus minister to you. Yeah. No man needs to do that, but let the presence of the Holy Spirit come and invade your heart this morning. So if you want to do that, I invite you to come. But if you just want to step out in your seat and just step out as a symbol that you want God to deal with you, then let that happen. This morning, I want to declare this song. This song you may have heard, it's called "I Speak Jesus." And today, We're going to speak the name of Jesus. I'm going to speak the name of Jesus over your life, over your family, over your circumstances. But I wonder, maybe you can declare that. Maybe you need to speak Jesus over your life and over your circumstances and everything. So, as we minister, why don't you just close your eyes or just sing along with us.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. Every heart and every mind.
right now. Lord, I speak the name of Jesus over this people. Lord, let your presence just fall upon them. Let your Holy Spirit power just invade them, Lord Jesus. Father, I thank you for your presence. Your presence is going to make a difference, Lord God. If you're online this morning, I want you to just saturate yourself with the presence of Jesus. You belong. You are accepted. You are not labeled anymore. It's not what people have done to you. You are not your condition. You are not your anxiety. You are not your depression. Hear me today, church. You are not your issue. You are not your issue. I speak the name of Jesus all over this place and online.
Person that's new in the room in terms of, you know, the whole church deal and going to church and believing in God and connecting with God. It's all a bit strange when you first start that journey, and yet I think that what Pastor Marichelle has spoken about today highlights exactly what that journey is about. It's all about knowing who Jesus is. Knowing who Jesus is, and I just impacted with the thought of, if we only knew who it was that was walking by us. For blind Bartimaeus, if he didn't know who it was, nothing would have happened that day. But he knew it was Jesus, and he knew it was someone he could cry out to and ask for help. For the woman with the issue of blood, bleeding 12 years and broke, and yet she thought to herself, if I could just get his attention. I don't know whether you've ever been in the room with an important person who the world would perceive an important person, or someone that you think is an important person. But when you're in a room with someone like that, when you're at a table with someone like that, when they walk past you, you can't help but look at them. You try not to look at them, but you can't help. You're just drawn to them. Because there's something magnetic, there's something you want, there's something you know about them that causes them to be of high value to you. I think the beautiful thing that was explained to us today is that Jesus is that beautiful person. He is that beautiful one. He is that one of high value that we all need, that can help us all. No matter what our label is, no matter what our issue is, no matter what our heart condition is. So here's my thought as we close. If you're new to the whole church deal, if you're new to trying to follow God, there's a doorway you've got to come through. And Jesus put it like this. He said, every heart needs to be healed. Every heart needs to be made whole. Every heart, literally, in the thought of today's word, cry out to God for themselves and to realize who Jesus is. If you only knew who Jesus was. And I kind of want to apologize for the way that Jesus is represented. The way he's been represented to a lot of us. By the church, by the world, because I think the view that we have of Jesus is not quite right. If we only knew he's for us and not against us, if we only knew he loves us and doesn't push us away, if we only knew he believes in us no matter what, if we only knew he can put the pieces back together, if only Humpty Dumpty knew that Jesus could. Because maybe you feel like Humpty Dumpty. Maybe you've done every goof up, every mess up, every stuff up that there is possible. Can I say to you, you're not messed up enough yet for God not to be able to redeem you. He can redeem anything, anyone. Anything is redeemable. Anyone is redeemable. Everything is recoverable if we cry out to him. For everyone in the room today and everyone online that's viewing today, here's my invitation. God loves you and he knows you and he loves you despite knowing you. There are others in your world that won't love you unless you measure up, unless you stand up to their scrutiny. Well, here's the thing about God. He loves you regardless. He loves you so much that he sent his only son to die on the cross for you. That's how important you are. That's how valuable you are. Your label, your issue is not you. That's just where you're at. God wants to change where you're at by changing you, changing your heart today. The Bible says that every one of us need God in our heart. Every one of us needs to ask for forgiveness of sins. Jesus died on the cross for the forgiveness of the world's sins, but every one of us needs to ask for that to be applied to our life and to learn to follow God. And here's my invitation. If you've never done that, you can do that today. It's not a difficult thing. God didn't make it hard. He didn't make it hard. He made it easy. He said, all you've got to do is believe. That's all you've got to do. All you've got to do is believe. See, blind Bartimaeus, believe. The woman with the issue of blood, believe. All you've got to do is believe and ask God. Have a bold ask. Be bold in it. And as you ask, God responds. And as he makes your heart right, he begins to heal your life. And he works on making you whole as a man, as a woman, as a young person, as an older person. So if you've not made that decision today, you can make that decision. I'm going to ask you in a moment to lift up your hand nice and high. I want to pray for you today. Maybe you have made the decision. Maybe you've done the whole church thing and you thought, well, it's not for me, but you're still hanging around the edges of church today. You're still popping in online, having a bit of a view, seeing what the church is doing. Time to turn your heart around today. Time to realize who Jesus really is to you. He's more important to you than you realize, and you're more important to him than you will ever realize. And so if you need to come home today, you can come home to Jesus. I'm going to ask you to do that by lifting your hand. I want to pray for you today. So if you want to ask Jesus to become a Lord, be Lord and Savior of your heart and your life today, and let your heart cry out to him and tell him you need him to defy the labels of life and the issues of life today, would you lift up your hand nice and high right across the hall today if you're in the room? Lift up your hand nice and high by lifting your hand. You're saying, Pastor, please pray for me. Include me in this moment. Include me in this prayer. I want to get my heart right, my life right with Jesus today. If you're online, you can comment right now and one of our people will respond to you and help you in this process. And we're going to pray collectively in a moment for those that are online, those that are in the room today, to come and have a fresh start with God, a fresh moment with God. That's you today. Lift up your hand nice and high. Let me see your hand. We're going to pray together. If you're online, comment right now and we're going to pray together. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for people online in the room today that are saying yes to Jesus for a brand new start, to be re-identified, relabeled, not by the issues of life, not by the problems, not by the circumstance or situation, but relabeled by Jesus and who He is, to realize how valuable we are to Him and how valuable He is to us. And to have a bold ask today to be made well, to be made right, to be made whole. I pray for that. I pray for the power of the presence of God to come into every heart that needs Him today. Every life, every home, every person that needs and cries out to Jesus today to be made well, that they'll be noticed. And not only will they be noticed, they will be changed. They will be made well. They will be forgiven. And they will be made whole. That's my prayer today in Jesus' precious, powerful name. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. Come on, church, why don't we give the Lord a hand? Why don't we also give Pastor Marichal a great hand today for a great word, a great thought today, a great sermon. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Right now, we're going to release you into our hospitality time. Can I say this about our hospitality time? This is a moment for us to connect after the service. The service after the service is an important part of the culture and the way we do church. So why don't you take a few moments, grab a coffee, grab some food, sit at a table, mingle with some people, make some new friends today. God bless you. If you're online today, thank you for being with us today as part of our online family and online community today. God bless you. Have an amazing week. Don't forget Easter next Sunday and Friday and our baptismal service. Thank you very much for being with us. God bless. Thank you.